The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 20 minutes 32 seconds, with a station ID break at 10 minutes and 1 second. There are 5-second breaks to reset Echo Link and All-Star timers about every 3 minutes.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 77, hosted October 15th, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. There are any number of HF antennas you could erect as a new ham with a general license under your proverbial belt. Alabama ham Don Keith, N4KC, is a prolific writer with 25 books to his credit. At the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo, he presented a virtual talk he calls N4KC's Top 5 Get It On The Air Quick Antennas. In our first excerpt from that talk, Don spoke about his number one choice, the common dipole. In our second excerpt, he covers 3 more antennas he recommends for the new general licensee.
Number 2, the wire dipole, but fed with parallel or open wire feed line. This is almost identical to the one I showed you, except instead of feeding it with coax, that wonderful stuff that's easy to work with and easy to get into the shack and just screws right onto the radio or to the antenna tuner, we're going to use open wire or ladder line feed line. Number of reasons for this that we'll talk about, but you will cut this antenna for the lowest frequency you intend to operate. That's the old 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz that we talked about with the dipole. Or you make it as long as will fit into where you're going to be able to put up the antenna. Hopefully, it's going to be good, usable antenna for the lowest frequency band, the highest wavelength band that you intend to operate on. You just put one side of the ballast feed line to one side of the antenna and solder the other side to the other side of the antenna. Do not put a ballon at the feed point. We don't really care a lot, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Besides, the typical impedance of a dipole antenna is going to be anywhere from 60 to 75 ohms or so, and you're feeding it with 50 ohm coax, or you're feeding it with 450 ohm ladder line or 300 ohm window line or whatever. You've got a pretty bad mismatch there. But Don, you just said that it matters that you have a high SWR and that you really need a resonant antenna. Well, not necessarily, because the nature of that balanced feed line, that open wire or ladder line, is that it is not nearly as susceptible to loss from high standing wave ratios. The advantages of this dipole fed with the open wire or ladder line, the same advantages that you get with a dipole. It is very stealthy. It works very well. With an external tuner beyond the one that's built into most of our transceivers these days, it will work well on just about every band that you try it on, if your antenna tuner is wide enough. That dipole that was cut for one particular frequency will work even on the even multiples and the odd multiples, and where the antenna is decidedly not resonant. That's because that balanced feed line is not susceptible to the high losses that you get with a high standing wave ratio. The cons, well, they're the same as the dipole. It is basically a directional antenna, although you get, if your feed line has any radiation at all, you'll get a little vertical element that's not directional, but typically it's still going to be a figure eight. Now, I mentioned that you don't need a ballon at the feed point. You do need some sort of way of transferring over to an unbalanced antenna when you get to the radio or to most external tuners, because they're expecting a coax connector. And if you're using 450 ohm window line, the output of most amateur radio transceivers is 50 ohms. You're going to want to step that down. If you're using 450 ohm line down to 50, you'd need a 4-to-1 ballon or something like that to make the transition. I got to say, though, if you use an antenna like this on a lot of different frequencies, you'll be surprised how just a simple 4-to-1 ballon, not an 8-to-1 or a 9-to-1 or anything odd, will work just fine, because the SWR doesn't matter that much as long as your tuner can find a match and the radio is perfectly willing to transfer that energy through the antenna matchbox to the feed line and the antenna. No matter how many trips that signal makes up and down the transmission line, it's still eventually going to be emitted and it will work just fine and you'll get a good satisfactory experience. But you do need some sort of ballon that will transfer that over. I have one of these antennas and I use a 4-to-1 Balun, and I find that it will actually match up with my auto tuner on every frequency I've tried to match it. Works fine. I have a big loop, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, that actually works fine with a 1-to-1 Balun. And the tuner can find a match on that thing just about any place it wants to find a match. But you will have to have a Balun somewhere in there to make the transition from, in this case, balanced to unbalanced, which is the output of your radio and, in most cases, the tuner. Open wire feed line does have its quirks. It does have its oddities. You can't just run it along the ground. You can't tie it down a tower, touching the tower. You really need to keep that feed line at least the width of the feed line and maybe a little more away from any metal object, and certainly no long run along the gutters or tied to the gutters on the house or anything metallic. You can't just coil it up on the ground because you got too much or whatever. Getting it into the house is an issue with me. Getting into the shack, it has to pass by a bunch of air conditioning gunk, and it also has to come along with a phone line and a whole bunch of coaxial cables. So I have different ways of doing that. In my case, I go to either a 4-to-1 or a 1-to-1 Balun, and then I have a very short run of coax into the house, into the shack, and that's what hooks up to the antenna switch. Getting that feed line to the shack can be problematic just because you don't want to have anywhere near any sort of metallic object, because it'll mess up your impedance if you do that. Number three, the old full wave horizontal loop, or the sky wire, which sounds like good marketing. I happen to have one of these. I have the number two. I don't have number one. I don't have a dipole fed by coax anymore. I do have the number two up in the air and use it quite a bit, primarily on 75 and 80 meters. Number three is the full wave sky loop. That's just a single piece of wire with the ends joined at an insulator. That's the feed point. And then you feed it either with coax or open wire feed line attached across the insulator to those two ends of the antenna. You mean the antenna is shorted? Yes, it is. It's one piece of wire, one continuous piece of wire. The formula for figuring out how big that piece of wire is, if you want it to be one wavelength, which is a very handy, effective length for a loop, the formula is 1,005 over the frequency in megahertz. That's going to make it one wavelength long. Note that most diagrams you see is in the shape of a square or a rectangle, and you'll often see skywire loops in the shape drawn as a circle. It does not have to be either one. It can be whatever configuration it takes that you have supports to do it. My particular one has probably 10 or 12 supports around the backyard, and it's all haphazard. But it's a very effective antenna. Stealthy. Yep, it's hard to see one of those in the trees, but that's the only way I could get on 160 meters. I did not have a path for a 260-foot dipole, so I got out, walked around the yard, and noticed if I go all the way around my lot, maybe encroach just a little bit into the trees on my neighbor's lot, I would be able to put up the loop. And once I got it up there, I can't even tell that it's there. I actually go out and walk around the yard looking up to try to make sure the antenna's still in the air. It will also fit, as I say, where others might not. You'd be surprised how much room you have around a standard-sized city lot, which mine is. The antenna is very quiet. It makes a good receiving antenna, even if you're not hearing a signal as strongly as you might on some other kind of antenna. You can actually hear a weaker signal much better because it's extremely quiet. It really does resist man-made noise, which is typically vertical in nature. If you feed it with open wire feed line, just like the dipole, it can be a very effective antenna on a wide array of frequencies. My little MFJ 998 auto tuner will find a match any place I've ever tried to match it. And because it's so much wire and because of the nature of the loop, as you increase the frequency, double it each time or each harmonic frequency or each higher band, you get more and more gain lobes, and those gain lobes become much, much stronger.
You're hearing our second excerpt from Don Keith, N4KC's virtual talk. N4KC's top five Get It On The Air quick antennas he delivered at the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo. will conclude this excerpt from his presentation after station ID. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. This is Rain Hamcast Podcast number 77. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
If the station you're trying to work happens to fall into one of those gain lobes, you're going to be able to work him with an extremely strong signal, and you're going to be able to hear him very well just because of the nature of the pattern of this antenna. The cons of the loop, well, it's a lot of wire to keep in the air, and it will require multiple support points. In some places, my antenna runs through trees and limbs and leaves, and I can't help it, but I've got it up there as high as I can get it, which is not very high. Lightning and static electricity just love the loop antenna. If you got 520 or 560 feet of copper wire in the air, as I do, it really does love the lightning. In some areas where the humidity is very low, you get a dust storm or you get blowing snow, you can actually have a charge build up on that much wire that could be lethal at any point along the feed line. So you want to, as I do, make sure that you have lightning arresting, or in my case, I use regular old double banana plugs. And when I get finished using the antenna, I unplug them, I drop one end on the ground, and that eliminates the need for a whole lot of lightning protection. And I will never operate if there is lightning or thunder anywhere within, 20, 25 miles of where I am. I talked about those gain lobes and how neat those are and how they give you a real strong signal in some areas. Well, with each lobe, there is also a null. And if the station you're trying to work happens to be in one of those nulls, you may never hear him. He may never hear you. And so far, I have not figured any way to rotate a 560-foot-long piece of copper wire. But it's still a great antenna, and a lot of folks use the loop for a lot of good reasons. I just wish I could get mine about 50 or 60 feet higher. I'm working on it, but I don't know how to do it. Number four, the much maligned G5RV and also the ZS6BKW variant. This is basically a dipole, but the dipole is fed with a certain length of known impedance, open wire feed line or ladder line. That is a matching stub. The antenna itself has a much higher or lower impedance than what you want to use, but that matching stub at a certain point on the stub is about 50 ohms, and that's where you attach coaxial cable. You don't necessarily need a ballon. Some people will use a one-to-one there just to make sure that it's a smooth transition from unbalanced to balanced. And then your coax goes on and ties into your radio or your tuner with a coax feed, so you don't have to worry about the ladder line. The pros and cons of the G5RV, and you'll hear all sorts of bad stuff about this antenna, but it really is a very effective antenna. It's shorter than a dipole, which helps a lot of people who are space challenged and don't want to put up a bunch of wire. It'll work well on several bands. Mine loads up just fine, and it's a shorter ZS6BKW version. It works just fine on 10, 12, 17, 20, and 40 meters. It will not load up, even with my fine auto tuner, on 75 or 80 meters, or at least no place I've found there, because it's much too short for that. The antenna is relatively easy to build. There are quite a few inexpensive versions that you can buy online. Just don't believe the hype about it being an all-band antenna. You know, a 10-penny nail is an all-band antenna if you've got a tuner that will find a match to that 10-penny nail. But it's not going to be a very effective antenna. Again, those bands 10, 12, 17, 20, and 40 is where my particular G5RV seems to work well. It's a good little 40-meter antenna. You can build one yourself, or you can buy versions that are built in kits, including the feed line and everything else. My two G5RVs that I've had were both from The Wire Man, the little kit he sells. And I think I paid about $25 for the first one. It's about twice that now. Copper has gotten a lot more expensive. The first one lasted 10 years until a tree limb took it down. It had been up there for a long time, so I went ahead and trashed that one and bought a brand new one from The Wire Man. I've been using it for 8 or 9 years now, and it still works fine. The cons, again, it is not, despite what the marketers might say, an all-band antenna unless you've got a really, really good tuner that can find a match. And even if it finds a match, it may not allow you to make a lot of contacts. If you use a long run of coax, once you make the switch over from the ladder line matching stub, you can have loss in that coax if the SWR is very high, just you can with a dipole. And the measurement for that matching stub needs to be fairly precise because you've got to find that point where it's closest to 50 ohms on the widest array of potential frequencies on which you're going to be using the antenna. The Wireman puts a little chart in there that I found to be very accurate. And if you cut it to that, go do some antenna analyzing with it, you'll find that it works just fine where it's supposed to work just fine. And it works lousy where it's not supposed to work at all. So there you go. Number five, and I'll hurry up, I've used over my time already. The quarter wavelength vertical is just a single vertical element. It's a quarter wavelength for the band on which you intend to use it. And the frequency, or the formula rather, for finding the length of that vertical element is 234, half of 468 note, in over the frequency in megahertz. Typically, it's going to have ground radials. These are pieces of wire that are cut for a quarter wavelength for the lowest band that you're going to use this antenna on. Or you can use elevated radials and mount this thing on a roof or a tower or whatever, pretty much making it a ground plane. And there you need preferably two radials for each band that are resonant. So they're going to be the same length as the vertical element. That's a quarter wavelength vertical. The pros, it is very simple. It takes, what, a hundredth of an inch, very little space, and it is relatively stealthy. I've got mine hidden behind a magnolia tree, and nobody's ever mentioned it being there. None of the neighbors, certainly not the town that I live in. The angle of radiation, we haven't talked a lot about that, but that's one of the reasons you want to get those dipoles and G5 RVs and loops and all those up as high as you can. You want that angle of radiation to be the lowest for good DX. That's generally around 15 to 20 degrees above the horizon. The angle of radiation for a typical vertical is pretty good. And you can use traps or coils or other magic stuff to make this a multi-band antenna. And there are a lot of relatively inexpensive verticals on the market that are multiband because they use traps. Mine is a Hustler 4BTV. I paid $50 for it from a guy that I know that was getting rid of it. And I've had it up for probably 15 years and it still works just fine. It uses traps, so the antenna is resonant on 10, 15, 20, and 40. And it works okay. A lot of people sell these things and they're all in pretty good antennas. The cons, you do need radials. I don't care what the marketing people say, no radials necessary. Well, for a true vertical, you do need radials. If they're on the ground, they really do need to be buried just a little bit to keep the deer and the neighborhood kids and my grandkids out of them and the lawnmower, because the lawnmower loves to have copper wire wrapped around the blade. The cons, really not a lot. The biggest one is it radiates equally poorly in all directions. That's the old saw about the vertical. It's omnidirectional. You don't have any gain in any direction. That could be a plus. You don't know which direction the band is open to, or it's open to different directions, and you want to work them all, you can certainly do it with the vertical, but you don't have any gain really in any direction. And it is very susceptible to man-made noise. You know, I said most man-made noise is vertically polarized, and the vertical definitely picked that up.
And that concludes our two excerpts from the August 2021 QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo Talk by prolific writer Don Keith, N4KC. He calls N4KC's top five Get It On The Air quick antennas. You'll find his entire audio-video presentation on the Rain Report channel on YouTube. RAIN founder Hap Holly, KC9RP, edits and produces this bi-weekly ham radio hamcast without monetization. Your support via PayPal and feedback on the RainReport.com are both appreciated. RAIN Hamcast Podcast number 78 will post October 29th, 2022. Copyright 1985, 2022, RAIN. All rights reserved. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit these RAIN Hamcast podcasts in their entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for posting a not-for-broadcast version of these podcasts via YouTube. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!